On today's episode of Bucked Up.
You know, like, I know I'm different. Everything I do is different. I live a very different lifestyle, you know? It's not normal to be like a full-time podcaster. Very few people in the world are able to do that full-time.
We're podcasters. It's like, especially you see the setup I have, it's like if I wasn't grinding, what else would I have? You know what I mean? Like, that's the point of it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, you're at the grind, my friend. You're at the bottom of the grind. That's awesome.
But you understand, like, mm-hmm. This is a weird format, being able to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. What?
Do you agree, or yeah. Do you think it's like...
No, I mean, it's a whole new world, you know, 2023, going into 2024, it's very different, you know. Who would have thought you can make money on social media and do have conversations, literally just talking. My job for a living is to talk to people.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's a cool world.
Were you talkative growing up?
I was always kind of like a shy guy, but I like to be on stage, and I was always a kid that was like nervous. I'm the guy that goes on a roller coaster, even though I'm definitely afraid of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So
I think about that with being a stand-up and with being a podcaster, is I was so quiet growing up. So, like, now I want to talk all the time.
You're out of your shell now.
And now, like, I was unfunny. Like, you know, most comedians were unfunny and they wanted to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, were you a, you probably didn't party, and then you was like, I'm going to throw the craziest party.
Even when I was throwing parties, I was never a partier. I was just a marketer and an event planner. You know, I liked organizing. I liked marketing. I did not really like to party. I'm not really a partier, you know. I don't go to clubs now. I'm happy with a night in. That's what I'm happy with.
So you see this all as just like, you're just really good at seeing outside of the perspective.
I see the bigger picture. Like, I take something, and when we're talking, like, I see the end goal of it before anyone else does. So I'm good at putting the pieces together. You know, I'll put a puzzle together and see that finished product. So I see what this could be, and that's what keeps me going. That's what I run with.
And you're that's what makes you a good interviewer. You're very analytical.
I think that, but also, like, just the weirdness to me. You know, like, I the face, the expressions, the way I ask questions. It's a different point of view than what people are hearing. And also the biggest part about podcasting that most podcasters get wrong is it's letting your guests speak. You don't know how many times, like Nelk Boys and stuff, they're not a podcast. They are and they're not, you know? It's like a show. Everyone's interrupting each other. It's not like a professional interview setting. You know, those guys are famous and they have a great brand and stuff, but I would never put them in the category of like a Jay Shetty or some of the top insightful minds, you know? Like, I'm listening to some of Steiny's questions on his podcast. It's like, what the fuck is he doing? So it's just like things like that, you know? But they have a great brand, they have their thing, and everyone has like their market. But that's what makes shows like mine stand out, because I'm not interrupting my guest. When my guest is coming, you ask a question, you let them finish. And once you do that, you kind of get a rhythm and you figure it out.
But isn't there a difference between interviews and podcasts?
No, I think it's the same thing, you know? I think
podcast is like a TV show.
I don't know. I think like a podcast is like sitting down, talking to someone, asking good questions, having that conversation, but not like interrupting them, you know, like it's an interview, you know?
I see your point, but I think people break their shell more when you have a conversation with them.
Yeah, I just think there's a different way. I mean, it's hard. Like, if the average person starts a podcast, the world's going to say, don't quit your day job. Because the market's flooded with that. What the world isn't flooded with is good interviews. That's why interviews stand out. So, like, if I had a co-host and just made everything about me, that wouldn't last for that long, and it'd be very hard to stand out. How many times are people going to listen to someone's podcast talking about their weekend, talking about this, talking about that? Eventually, they're going to realize these people are not giving them any benefit. Whereas a show where you're interviewing someone, you're interviewing different people. It's the same reason why you're not a solo podcast. You just drove 4 hours to come interview someone. It's the same thing, you know?
I agree if you're trying to look at it from a marketing standpoint. But I look at my podcast as a way to help my stand-up.
Yeah, so that's your individual goal, you know? But if you're looking at it from a business perspective, it's not sustainable in that space, you know, unless you already have a brand or you have something to coincide with it, like comedy. But if you're just sitting at home, you just graduated college and you're like, I'm going to start a podcast and talk to my friend about whatever, who's tuning into that unless you have something to say and some value to bring to it? And we're not talking about you that already has a brand. We're talking about the average person that starts a podcast.
No, I know, but I'm going to play devil's advocate in that because I hope people are listening to this and hearing what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Because see, we're having a conversation and you're giving really helpful information to people that need to hear it. But you might be able to have a conversation with someone who no one really wants to have a conversation with because you have a way to tap in with them.
It's still an interview, though. It's, you know, an interview is a conversation is what I'm getting at. It's not like question, answer. You have to have, that's what makes a good interviewer. You know, you have some dialogue and do it. It's not like you're just sitting down reading off a paper, which is how my podcast first started. And mm-hmm. I had to adapt quickly, otherwise it wouldn't have worked out.
Do you not like telling your story anymore? Is that kind of like...
I mean, yeah, everyone's heard it. You know, like I'm burnt out from it. Because how many times can you say the same thing, you know? Like I won't do Zoom interviews anymore with people. It's just, for me, there's no benefit of like saying the same thing that's already out there, you know? Unless it's like a giant platform or something that makes sense to do. But, you know, a lot of the times you do a podcast and they're like, so... tell us about your story. And I really don't want to sit there like it should be directed. It should be guided. Like there should be specific questions, not just like, oh, he has a cool story. Let me have it on mine, you know, and whatnot. I mean, I built my platform off of sharing my story, but if I told it every single day, you know, like it's not sustainable long term. The different stories are what is getting me to the next level.
I agree. Okay. But what if someone, do you interview people in your real life?
What do you mean?
Like if you're going to have a conversation with someone, are you just going to keep asking them questions? Are you going to want to interject your feelings into that?
I mean, I'll interject feelings, but like most of the time if I'm getting to know someone, you know, like a lot of times I'm asking questions because most of the time people know a lot about me going into it because they can look stuff up.
Do you mind putting your microphone like on your t-shirt maybe?
Right here?
Yeah, just like that. Oh, I think it's the other way. The clip's the other way.
Like that?
Yeah.
That's good?
Perfect.
Okay. Good?
I'll come fix it for you. And watch, when I put this, unless you want me to edit it out, I'll keep all this shit. I don't really care.
Whatever you want to do, I don't care. It's your podcast, bro.
I like hearing this. Because trust me, we're in a nice studio. This is a business for you.
Yeah.
But go back to when you're talking to people, getting to know people.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I like to ask questions because a lot of the times they know a lot about me. So I'm just, you know, I'm trying to find out stuff about them.
Do you feel like most people try to get to know you, though?
Like in general, I mean, yeah, like I guess like, I don't know, people want to know me or I don't really have the time, you know, like I do a lot. I'm very hands on, like I edit my own videos, all the shorts you see, all the postings, like I do all of that. So for me, like if I'm talking to like, say, a girl or whatever, I can't sit there and text them all day. Like I used to be that person that wanted to do that, but that's someone that doesn't have shit going on in their life to be able to sit there and, you know, like I'm on a mission, I have a purpose and I'm doing what I got to do. So for me, like that doesn't fit my life anymore. And maybe that's an attractive quality. Maybe it's not, like, who knows, you know, but like I'm focused on my shit. So it's tough to sit there and like have a whole conversation. Like now I'm more like in the moment person because I'm always on my phone 24/7 because I'm posting for clients. I have clients for social media. I'm doing my own thing, you know, I'm networking on Instagram. Like that's how we met. So that's a big part of it. Like it's very different, you know? So like someone could say, well, you know, why can't you answer a text? Well, like I'm focused on my business, which is based on my phone.
And I want to be like, well, then when do you have fun? But you were living the fun life.
I mean, this is my passion, man. Like this is what I like doing. I mean, like yesterday was work, but I got to meet Sylvester Stallone and hang with Chevy Chase, you know? That's work. That's a job. I had to drive 3 hours to Philly and 3 hours back to only be there for 3 hours, and then I had to come back and edit videos till 1 o'clock in the morning. But, like, that's part of it, man, you know? But it's also, like, I could do different things, too. Like, I got out of bed at 9 today. I didn't have to go punch in somewhere at 8 o'clock. Like, I'm able to do, I can move things around. I can do all my workload in one day, sit there for 24 hours and do it, and have the rest of the week off if I had to. Like, that's the part about being an entrepreneur.
I agree. If you're not going to hit the gym, I'll go to the gym tonight at 2 a.m. if I've been a busy day. But I also like to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it is the comedian in me, but like I like to get, bro, my 4 hour drive here, I was listening to new music. I have a bong. Legally, this is all.
This doesn't sound legal, man. I don't think you can smoke weed during driving.
This is all hypothetical. Yeah. My Subaru drives itself on the highway.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
So I'm just fucking hypothetically doing bong rips, yeah, listening to new music, and enjoying myself. And that is fun, but it's on the way to do business.
Yeah.
You see business as fun, like.
I mean, yeah, I like my time with certain people. Like, you know, like if I'm seeing someone or something like that, you know, I do that. But I'm just at a different stage in my life right now. To me, going to the club is not fun. Mm-mm. I like hanging with the guys or going out to a dinner, but like, that's only very limited because my mind's always on work, and that's what I do. You know, I like doing this, and that's what stands you out from the rest of the people of the world. I'm hungry, I'm driven, and I'm gonna go after what I want.
Is that hunger something you were born with, or is that something that just had, like, one day you woke up with a literal, like, I'm taking myself seriously?
No, I think I was born with that. I think entrepreneurs are born. You know, I think it's very hard to make an entrepreneur. You know, like, you have to, like, you're given that. And maybe it takes some time to figure out you're born with it, but ultimately, like, you're born with that shit. It comes from somewhere. You know, that's why it's so hard for people that aren't born with it to just quit their job to start their business, or why some people refuse to ever do that. And they're always going to work a 9-to-5. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's what's part of the world. You know, you need those individuals. It fits into society in that way. But like me, I'm never going to go work for someone. Like, this is like, you have to have that mentality that you're all in and you're going to do this, or you're going to be out on the street, you know, homeless, and you can't eat. You know, so this is where I'm focused and where I'm driven.
So you don't think motherfuckers can change?
I think it's hard in that sense to become an entrepreneur for your whole life, unless you get mad enough where you're so unhappy. It's like in a relationship. You're with someone 6-7 years. You don't want to leave that. You're comfortable, you know, but you know you want more. And a lot of people don't leave. But it's always that one stance where you're like, you know, I'm ready to fucking leave. And when you stand up for yourself and you're out of that, then it's a whole different ball game.
But isn't the whole point of your podcast the people have changed?
That's different, you know?
How is that different?
They're changing their behavior. They're changing everything. Like, it's just entirely different. Saying you want to change and better your life is a lot different than taking on the necessary skill you need to be an entrepreneur. And a lot of those people were entrepreneurs. If they're going and starting their own business, like being influencers and stuff, they were entrepreneurs in one sense because they were drug dealers. Or they had some sense of business, of crime that related to business. So it's not like they're changing in that sense, you know? They're changing their mentality, but what they were physically born with in them was always there. It just needed to be redirected. I think it's more about redirection than ultimately changing who someone is.
So you think we're kind of predetermined?
I mean, I think in an entrepreneurial sense, yeah. I think you're born into the universe and you have a path. Like, the universe has a path for you, you know? And even though we think we're altering it, maybe that was already decided for us. Like, maybe I was always meant to own a nightclub and I was always meant to go to prison so I could be exactly where I am now. But I just didn't know that at the time.
But I just still don't get how you can think people change it one way and not the other. Because I do think it's extremely, extremely hard. I agree with you. But what if someone's 500 pounds? It's really hard for them to get thin. But it's not impossible.
No, it's not impossible. But I'm not saying overall. I'm speaking solely from an entrepreneurial standpoint. We're not talking about...
You're born an entrepreneur.
Yes,
not.
Yes. That's
like
what I'm standing. Yes,
it's like you're born an artist.
I'm not sitting here saying you're born fat, you're never going to be skinny. I'm saying if you are born an entrepreneur, you're going to tend to gravitate towards that, and you're never not going to be an entrepreneur. And if you're born a regular person, I guess you could say, a non-entrepreneur, it's going to be very hard for you to switch over until or unless something traumatic happens that inspires that change. Like in a relationship or in weight loss, something triggers that person to go to the end of the earth to change that. And that's a very small percentage of people that can do that.
And I agree. And it's very funny because now I hear you say you're an entrepreneur and I hear it. I'm a comedian, bro. I don't take shit seriously. Look at what we're doing right now.
Yeah, we're filming with a camera with a couple of
mics. I don't take shit. I'm a comedian. I am, and it's gonna work out. And I know because, like, I've had not taking shit seriously has led me on a very happy life from some traumatic experiences. Hearing you say that is very good because I do think trauma is like near death. It's like almost the same thing where it can trigger you into a point of not caring about perception anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a conspiracy right now.
I mean, pain is the greatest motivator. I believe strongly in that. You're not going to change without pain. Heartbreak, pain, anything like that, trauma, you need that as a standing point to get to where you want to be.
So what's your pain if you want to talk about it?
I mean, you look at my entire past, man.
That's the pain?
Yeah, I would say so, you know? Like that, I've gone through a lot of shit at a young age, and now I'm determined to make things right and to fix what was, you know, broken before and the reputation, you know? Like, I'm on a mission to rebuild that.
But so, if you were born with it, how did it get broken?
I mean, I think I was born with ambition and, you know, this entrepreneurship and that, like, I was overly ambitious and that brought me down a path, you know? So that same thing, like, right now it's controlled. Like I streamline my energy and my ability and my work ethic into one project. Before I did that into the club, but I didn't really know about the club, didn't know how to do business. I'm not really a business person, I'm a marketer, and that kind of aligns automatically with a business. I'm creative, I'm a marketer, but I don't like the business side of things. You know, I like the actual doing the work, marketing and building side of it.
And you're addicted.
Absolutely, you have to be addicted in this type of stuff.
You have to be an addict.
Yeah, you have to. You have to be a monster in that field. Like
You're sober completely?
I mean, I'll drink socially. I'll do some edibles here and there, but yeah, like it doesn't affect me, you know? Like I'm not hooked to anything. I'm hooked to my work. This is my life, you know?
You do have to be a workaholic. I'll give you that.
Yeah, well, that's how you stand out.
I'm asking you to have fun, but you really do have to be a workaholic.
You have to be in this, but that's how you stand out, man. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I have clients that'll say, like, how do you manage? Because I manage my full-time podcast 2 episodes a week, and then I manage 3 others for people. The average person can't do that. And I'm able to just stay very organized and work hard and see the end goal, and that's what keeps me going.
I hope people listening who are motivated feel that in themselves, because I do think you are born with something. Everyone who's successful does believe that it was always their path. But do you think people really are hopeless?
No, I don't think anyone's hopeless. Like, someone always has the ability. You got to figure out what that trigger is to inspire change, you know? Like, I don't feel bad for anyone that's like, you're sitting at home complaining, like, you're heartbroken, you're miserable, this and that. That's on you to get your ass up and figure that shit out. Like, no one's going to come and save you, you know? Like, I remember for so long, I was just waiting for that miracle, waiting for this. Like, you create your own luck. You go out there, you figure it out, you work hard. Things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. No one works ridiculously hard and gets nothing out of it, whether that's in a job, anything. If you work hard, you're going to get to it.
Well, who did you idolize growing up? And I have a point that's not just like, who are your idols growing up? Like, who did you really be like, that's who I want to be growing up?
I mean, I idolized like the guys that were building startups and tech companies, even though I was never really into tech. I liked the concept of they bucked the system and they dropped out of college or didn't go. So to me, I always looked up to those guys. I inspired to be like those guys. And I'm never going to be the tech CEO. And I'm never going to have a startup in that sense, you know, where I'm building something like technological. That's not me. I'm not passionate about that. What I'm passionate about is like creating content and being a performer and an entertainer. That's what I like doing. But I looked up to those guys, like, you know, the Mark Zuckerbergs and the Evan Spielbergs and stuff like that.
Because I think that's a big thing. When I look at people I looked up to, it influenced me in a way that could be positive or detrimental. But I don't know if that was... Like, I get very stuck on the nature versus nurture thing.
Mm-hmm.
Were your parents driven people?
Yeah, I mean, my dad's very driven. My mom's very, like, emotional, intelligent, and a hard worker. But, like, you get a mix of that, you know? But, again, like, you can't necessarily blame your parents for everything either. Like, in a sense, like, some of the people that became millionaires, their parents weren't millionaires, or their parents weren't out-of-the-box thinkers, you know? That was just, like, the universe created that individual, and that person ran with it. Yeah, I think the individuals like me and people like that, they know they're different. You know, like, I know I'm different. Everything I do is different. I live a very different lifestyle, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not normal to be, like, a full-time podcaster. Very few people in the world are able to do that full-time. So it's something that's definitely, that makes me different, you know? Like, in what world? You're on a date. You're like, yeah, I'm a podcaster, you know? No one's really taking that seriously, but it's a very, like, it's a serious job.
Wait, what do you get when you say that? What do you get when you say that?
Well, people,
I'll tell you, oh, my
people
God.
People know going into it, you know, like, because a lot, I don't go on dating apps anymore, but, like, I use Instagram. So people already know. They're watching my content. They'll slide into my DMs. And it goes off like that. But a lot of these people are, like, out of state, you know?
But you've never met a girl at a bar and you're just talking.
I don't really go out.
Maybe not a bar. Yeah. That's a bad example.
Maybe before I've reached this level of success with social media when I was working at Whole Foods and stuff, yeah. You know, and then they were curious about the prison stuff, because they knew of me, you know, but a lot of people, they just, like, they can get to know you too through TikTok and through your videos. And through listening to a podcast, you get to know someone, you know?
But isn't it shitty to have someone know so much more about you than you know about them?
I mean, I guess it maybe makes it more exciting so I don't have to talk about myself. I get to know them, and that's what makes it interesting.
But isn't a relationship learning about someone?
It is, but I'm saying in the initial steps, like, I don't need to pitch someone, you know? I'd rather them know the information so they know going into me so there's no time wasted.
But then they have to pitch themselves to you, and then that puts themselves on a lower level.
But it's not putting on. I don't think someone's lower than me or above me in that sense when it comes to what they do for work. It's about whether we connect with each other. Some people you meet and you just don't feel it with them. There's a lot of you just don't feel it, you know. And you're not going to know that until you meet the person you hang out with them, you know.
Don't you want to be with someone who's like you, like an entrepreneur who's like, I don't really give a fuck about you, but I love you.
I thought that's what I wanted until I met someone that I've been, like, on and off with, like, since April, who is the complete opposite of me. And I feel at peace when I'm with her. Mm. And I enjoy her company, and we're complete opposites. And I live a very different lifestyle. And I think that's what makes it interesting. Because someone like that is so used to the average person, you know? And maybe it will work out, maybe it won't, you don't know. But I do believe in opposites attracting. And imagine if I'm met someone that's just as ambitious and just like me, how would that work out in a setting where, like, what would that even look like, you know? I feel like you would butt more heads. Because then we were both driving ourselves into work. We're both doing this. You know, where's the balance? Whereas in a spot where someone's not my equal in that sense, I have the ability to stay organized and turn off where, like, if the other person can't, that's just as ambitious, it might be hard. So whereas, like, if it's a regular person that's not an entrepreneur, she's free on a Friday night. I'm really busy and I'm a workaholic, but I know, okay, I need to plan things around to be free on this Friday night. Then that's different. Whereas you have two people that are in their own mind, have 9 million schedules. It's harder to piece that together.
Do you ever get burnout?
I mean, a little bit, but not like, I don't get burnout with my show in general. Cause I love that. You know, I love that podcast. Maybe I feel a little burnt out with other shows, but it's also, like, bad quality too. Like, I get bored. Like, if I don't see a result, like, if I'm editing, like, a podcast for someone where it's just, like, the show sucks. Like, it's just the quality sucks, this and that. I'll get burnt out of that very quickly. But if I'm doing something that's high quality that I'm producing, that I'm involved with, and I'm growing it with them, it's less about money and more about putting out a quality product, then, like, I'll grind it out and see that, you know? But there's so many people that like, they want to do a podcast, they want to do this, they want to do that, and they don't listen, you know? They don't want to listen to the result on what you need to do to be successful as a podcast in this day and age.
Do you get burnt out in life though? But you don't see a difference.
I mean, it's all the same thing. I mean, like
you get tired. Like
everyone gets tired, man. I get tired, but you push through, you know? Like I like sleep. I like, you know, like I don't work 24/7, you know?
No,
like,
I know, yeah. But do you think about longevity? Like,
I mean, I think I have unlimited motivation because of the shit I've been through, and there's gonna be plenty of time to rest once I get to even. I'm on a mission to get to even, you know, from the past. Mm-hmm. Get to even, which is, like, if I make $1 million, I'm happy, you know?
That's your even?
Oh, yeah, that's and then some. That's even and then some. You know, if I could clear $1 million, which is very obtainable to do, I'm good. I'll take some time off. You know, I'll ease back. I'm not shooting for 5 million or 10 million. You know, all that's great, but $1 million, clear and free after taxes, I'll be happy.
You might think I'm crazy, but that's what I'm shooting for.
So I guess we're both in the same position then.
No, I'm saying I'm shooting for more. I don't know why you're limiting yourself at $1 million.
I'm not, because once you hit that million, more is going to come, but it's not about the money.
You think you're going to hit that and just be like, I can relax. No. You're going to hit that and be more hungry than you are
I'm
right
not
now,
saying permanently. I'm saying just like in a sense where like maybe I drop some clients. Maybe I, you know, and just focus on my show. I have to work a little harder. Listen, my life would be so perfect right now if I never had the mistakes of the past, if I wasn't in any debt, if everything was good, if I started this podcast right after college or right after high school and this blew up and it's generating this income, my life would be perfect right now. But then on the other end of the spectrum, I wouldn't have that if I never went through all that shit and went to prison and all of that. So it's one, you know, that's the way you got to look at it. So I look at it this way. You know, the $600,000, $700,000, $800,000I lost, right? That was my tuition. That was my upfront payment to have the career I have now. Now it's on me to finish this and see it through and to pull this off.
I agree with that, but I just don't think, if you're talking about you're born an entrepreneur, then you're never gonna be happy with the product that you have, even if you get $100 million. And that's the entrepreneurial mind. How many interviews have you listened to that person's at the height of the game and they're unhappy with where they're at? Because that's what drives you. If you're happy, you're never gonna wanna do anything.
But I'm not driven by money.
What drives you?
What drives me is the process. You know, like the a lot of people ask me, what are you gonna do once you, If your goal is to pay everything off and get to zero, what will motivate you after that? So that'll be a discussion when the time comes. But right now I have all this motivation because I want to get to zero. You know, everyone finds something to hold on to. My motivation isn't, I'm at zero already, let me make $10 million. It's not the motivation right now.
No, your motivation is showing who people really are. Because you wouldn't be doing a podcast if you didn't.
I think the podcast aligns with my story. It's about rooting for the underdog, all the people that told people no. Like, I started this because I couldn't get my own movie deal or book deal or anything like that. I created the content myself. No one was going to help me, not that they owed me, but that was my mindset, you know? So, and now in return, it's not even about me anymore. That's why I don't like sharing my story anymore. I use a story. The story gave me a platform to some degree. And now I'm helping others, which in turn helps myself. So it goes together. But I'm all for the underdog. I love the overcoming and the obstacles and everything like that. That's what I love. I love the people that society counts out and they get their own platform, not like one of these already big platforms that only gives their time of day to celebrities or whatever. My platform can do that for people. And it doesn't need anyone's approval to do that. I don't need to go to the head of HBO and say, hey, can we get this story on, you know? Fuck all that. Like, I can have the normal person on, they come on and share their story.
But you wanted that movie. You wanted to be famous.
Yeah, I did, and now I don't want that anymore. People change.
Now that you are?
I mean, I'm just a normal guy, man. You know, like, in that sense, look at you reached, how many people in my field do you reach out to that maybe we could call them on my level that don't give you the time of day? Because that happens to me. There's a lot of podcasters that they're equal, or maybe I have more downloads or bigger platforms. They don't check their DMs. I'm a big believer in checking your DMs, giving back to people like that, even though like now, like I'm at the point where like I won't do a Zoom interview. I'm just not doing it anymore because I'm burnt out. You want to talk about burnt out? I'm burnt out from going on a Zoom interview and they ask the same questions and it's just, there's no mutual benefit in that, you know? But I'm happy to take my time out of day. If someone, I offer now to people, hey, you want to come to Connecticut? You want to come on my podcast? We'll shoot an episode for your channel. You can have the high-end production. It won't cost you anything. And you can use that clip on your channel, you know? So at least it looks good. But a lot of people, they don't check their DMs. They're not answering, you know, for whatever reason. And it's hard to answer to every single one, but the ones I can, you know, like I'm not going to be a dick to someone, tell them no in that sense.
Yeah, but you should, I feel that, but I don't give a fuck about the high quality. I don't give a fuck about, look at what I'm talking to you about. This is going to connect with some people, but yeah, but not everyone.
That works for you, Sam. You know, you've been able to create something with that. You're not following the grain. All the guys that are doing something on Zoom and stuff, they're following the grain. They're doing what everyone else is doing. You're doing something different and it's working for you. How many people are
coming it from such opposite ways, which I love.
But how many people are driving 4 hours and setting up with a phone? They're just not doing that, man. But
funny.
That's what makes you
it's
different.
This is a bit.
What makes you different, though. You're not on Zoom doing what everyone else is doing, and that's what's led you to success.
I give good interviews on Zoom because I'll ask them, what's your relationship with God? Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that because I'll tell you, I was in a dark-ass place. I was in a deep-ass, depressed-ass place with nothing going for me. I was broken up with right before COVID, and then COVID hit, and I lost comedy, and I lost everything. And this is how dumb my life is. I did a DMT ceremony, and that shit made me start this podcast, and it's now my full-time job.
That's like, awesome,
shit's
man.
Silly.
Yeah.
But I love hearing, like, the other ways of it. I'm also not going to compare it, but, like, you see shit so analytically. I'm so, like, go by the energy and the feeling, bro. But you also are very successful. You can look at our numbers. You're very successful. But I'm happy to hear that you're happy too. Because I think people, maybe their story can change, but people are who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to figure out who you are. And most people are too lazy to figure out who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking, just take a step back, and I hate myself that I found through psychedelics because it's dumb as hell because that's every white dude who has a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's the Joe Rogan journey.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you found it through going through serious trauma. But you found out who you really were.
Exactly. I know who I am, and I believe in that, and that's how what I do. Like, I'm not trying to be someone I'm not at this point in it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something I struggled with for a long time. And now I know who I am and I'm doing this, you know? And I like my alone time and I like doing my thing and I like working, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am. This is what I do.
Your gamble paid off.
I mean, not yet, but it's on the right track.
Okay, all right.
I gotta tune some things up. I got a plan, you know? And it's gonna get to where I need it to get to.
Da Vinci has a painting that sold for $450 million. It's the most expensive painting to ever be sold. His family's not getting that. He doesn't know that he has the most expensive painting ever. He doesn't know any of that. He just believed in himself and look at where he is. But he doesn't know that shit. Look at what you're... You do care about the numbers, but you don't really think about the legacy that you're leaving behind doing these really important conversations that need to be heard.
No, I know it's a legacy, and I also know it's gold. Like, what I've been able to create in the amount of time that I've been able to do it, that means something. Like, I came out of nowhere. Like, I caught it by storm, you know? Like, there's very few people in this world that could put on nearly 200,000 YouTube subscribers in 11 months. And I understand that. And I know how hard it is to build audio downloads, to have 130,000 listeners a month. Like, I know it takes people years to do that. And I've done it in a matter of months. And I get that. And that's how I know there's something special with it. You know? Like, that's my baby right there.
With it or with you?
I mean, who knows? Maybe it's the platform itself. Maybe it's less about me. Or maybe the two things, you take the content and you take me, you know? But I'm not, I mean, I know in the sense where like if you replace me on the show, it wouldn't work as much because people listen to me, people like me, they like the authenticity. People like that I'm able to say open and honestly about what happened in prison, that I'm able to do certain things and it's not the same thug shit that some other creators do. And no hate to them, because everyone has their market and stuff. But it just gives it a different point of view. It's like rappers or singers or look at Jelly Roll. He's a great example. That's someone that put a new spin on something that was already out there and it worked for him. Look at Matt Rife. You know, he's another example. There's millions of comedians out there. And he did just, he kept pushing. He did that thing and everyone has that way to stand out. So I think it's, you know, it's just a mixture of everything.
Would you be happier if you got that movie deal?
Not anymore. I don't care about that anymore. Like, would it be cool? Yeah, cool, man. It'll help me.
Would you give it all up for that $1 million movie deal?
I wouldn't trade it. Like, I'm not going to, because that's a one-time thing. Like, had I gotten everything I thought I wanted years ago, I don't think I'd be where I'm at today. I built this on my own. Like, no help from anyone. Like, I created this. And that can't ever be taken away from me in that sense. A movie deal, they promise you something, that could be taken away. I mean, look at the Anna Delveys of Billy McFarland. Their social media was all built off of another platform. They didn't build their shit organically. Anna Delvey gets Netflix published, and overnight she's got 1 million followers on Instagram. I fucking worked for my shit, you know? And so that, you know, I think that's what's special about it. This is a comeback story. People are watching it as it happens and unfolds, and it's in the making.
You took a real gamble, and you knew what you were doing. I mean, like, not to call you out, because that's not what I'm doing. I don't mean to do that. But, like, it's working out for you, and you knew, because you knew that whatever happened, it would work out for
you. I believe wholeheartedly in that the universe has a plan, and that, like, every time I went wrong in my life is because I put what needed to be done onto other people. And when you realize that you can only really count on yourself, and that you can get yourself to where you need to be, then there's not gonna be many issues because you're responsible for that. You take accountability for that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm in control. I'm not banking on someone else to show up for a podcast, you know? That's why I'm always staying ahead. That's why I'm on point with everything. Like, I don't let my business ultimately get put in the hands of other people. It's on me.
That's why I don't care who answers my DMs or not. I'm very happy you did. This is a dope conversation. I hope people listening to this, like, get something from this. And I'm really happy we got to meet because you are very inspiring. But at the end of the day, I don't really care about that because I believe in myself so much. You wouldn't put out 2 episodes a week if it weren't for you.
Exactly.
You don't give a fuck about the guests in the same way I don't give a fuck about the guests. I love whoever I'm sitting down with, but it's my platform.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not the guests that are driven me to do 2 episodes. I do put 2 episodes out for me because that's what builds the platform and that's what stands me out.
But it's not the questions you ask, it's who you are.
I think it's a mixture of both, though. I think I come up with good questions. You know, I think it's a package deal. You can't say one thing contributes to it than the other. I just think everything shaped together folds the perfect formula for what I've been able to do. And I have a formula, I have a system, and I stick by that. And I don't differ from that. You don't fix what's not broken. So I just stay consistent. I think consistency is the number one thing. Consistency and never giving up. Consistency in relationships, in the gym, in business. If you are consistent, you are going to win, no matter what.
I agree. And it's really tough to not let emotions get in the way.
Yeah, but sometimes emotions are in it. Or, you know, it's tough. It really is, you know?
You seem like you have a good handle on emotions.
I mean, I am fueled by my emotions. You know, how I feel is how I, you know, that energy is put into that, you know?
But you don't really pop. Like,
I've gotten cooler in my days. Like, before, I used to be very emotional in my decisions. Now I'm not because I just, if I'm feeling out of place emotionally, all right, focus back in on work and that kind of, you have to have a purpose, you know? Got to have something to put it in, that energy into. Because it's very easy to get depressed and to fall into a bad spot, bad headspace. You got to have something to rope you back in.
The working out.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Your shit is, I'm just not aggressive enough for boxing. I really want to do it, but I think I'm just like...
You never know until you try, man.
I like running.
So, yeah.
I'm 6'4", 265, and I run 3 miles 5 days a week.
That's awesome,
like,
man.
I love running, and I never thought I would like it. Like, yeah. It was something that I was like, I used to tell myself, I was one of those kids that be like, I can't run. And I feel like that is the reason I started running.
Yeah.
Is that how you feel of boxing?
I mean, boxing aligns with my brand, you know, like that underdog, you know, like the working hard. I like the process. It's not about the fighting. I just want to be in a spot where I can protect myself and that it's just like, it's another underdog story, man.
But it aligns with your brand, not you.
No, it aligns. I mean, I am my brand, you know, it all coincides with falling down in life and getting back up. You fall down the ring, you fall down life, whatever, you fall down and you get back up. So that all aligns together.
Were you a fighter growing up?
Not in that sense. I was always a kid that got bullied, you know? But I have heart. You know, I'm a fighter mentally. I've always been a mental fighter.
You ever get your ass beat or anything?
Of course. Everyone does, man. You get bullied, you get your ass beat.
I'm big. I might be goofy, but no one fucked with me.
You're a big guy.
People might say shit to me. That might be why I'm really good at roasting. Mm-hmm. But no one ever tried to fight me because I was big.
Yeah.
Is that the boxing? You're like, you know what,
it is what it is. It's how you carry yourself too, you know?
Yeah. I like to draw lines from my past to now.
That's like, awesome, man.
Do you?
Not really. I don't really look at I'm not focused on the past. I'm focused on the present and the future. You think about it, you use it as a motivator, but...
But also, directly because of what you went through led to you to where you are now.
Absolutely.
But you don't ever look back at, like, things maybe from your childhood, and be like, damn, that's why I am the way I am now. So then you can use that to maybe change it or be your best self.
Yeah, sometimes if I'm doing an interview or people help correlate that, you know, but it's not, you know, that's not, I can't sit here and dwell on that every day.
Just how brains work differently.
Yeah. Everyone's different, man. Everyone's built different.
It's dope because I wish I wasn't so bogged down, but I also feel like it gives character. But you lived through life already. It's like you prestiged in Call of Duty and not in a way to look up at it, but like you really did go through what probably everyone in life's biggest fear is.
Yeah.
Death or going to you know what I mean?
People are, like, but that's why so many people are interested in it, you know?
But you really, it's not like a TV show. It's not like...
No, it's not. It's very much different.
You really did go through that, but were you this person then? Or is this something that you've developed is who you are right now?
I mean, maybe I was always that person and it just had to come out by doing this, you know?
How did you handle your emotions? You said you used to be more emotional.
I mean, I would make emotional decisions, you know? Like now you learn to take a step back. If someone sends you a text you don't like, or, you know, sometimes staying silent and ignoring is the best result. You don't have to answer to everything because it just adds more fuel. You just work up. You're wasting energy. Take a step back, you know? You don't answer. That's literally the best thing. You don't engage with it, you know? Someone doesn't want to talk to you, you know, or someone's not making an effort or anything like that. Just who cares? What is sending that text going to do to solve it if they're not already doing that? You know, yeah, you put some effort in. You have to put effort in. Like if you want to pursue something, you got to try. But if it's not aligning or you're not feeling that reciprocated or whatever, what are you going to get yourself worked up about? You know? So before I was always the one chasing and doing all of that, you know? So... Now it's a lot different.
I'll ask you my Zoom question. What's your relationship with God?
I believe in God, you know, like I believe in a higher being, and I believe in, I'm a very spiritual person, and I believe in like things happening for a reason in the universe and all that. That's pretty much it, you know? I believe everything happens for a reason. We all have a person and a path.
Why?
I guess that's just how the world was created.
Did you always feel that way, or did you find it later?
I think I always believed in that. You know, I was very, like, a quotesy spiritual type person. I love a good quote.
Like a good bumper sticker?
No, like a good Instagram quote, or I love my whole TikTok For You page is motivational clips and speeches. I love that shit, man. That keeps me going.
That is a good thing about podcasts, is it... It's really good. I'm always, I don't care. It ruined, no one's going to be quoted anymore. No one can be quoted.
It's all
going to
be video
sentence.
Clips. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
I like love that though. You see it.
Seven people said it and all went viral for the same thing.
And TikTok created that. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's like the word Stan, you know, from Eminem's song is now in the dictionary.
That's awesome.
And people hundreds of years from now are going to use that word and have no idea that it came from fucking Eminem.
Yeah.
Imagine if you created a word.
I guess so. That's got to be the next challenge, right? Creating a word.
Did you ever read that book Frindle in school where the kid called pencils Frindles or some shit? Mm-hmm. What did you want to do when you were a kid?
Like whatever kid wanted to do, be a firefighter, be a police officer, an FBI agent, anything like that, you know?
You didn't want to be an entrepreneur. You didn't want to
No one says they want to be an entrepreneur at that age, you know? Like I was doing entrepreneur things like the candy stores or the lemonade stands, things like that. But I didn't say, I want to be an entrepreneur, you know?
I wanted to be a comedian. It's so funny because, like, I believe in myself now, I believe in myself then. And maybe it's a little bit of delusion, but it did become my full-time job at whatever scale it is. But it is funny because you say you're born this way, but you found it. And I believe you can find it, but I was born this way. Like, in my
head. It has to get triggered in some way, you know? Like, it's within you.
Was there a moment it was triggered?
I think it just kind of came naturally, you know? Like, it just all, like... It just happens, like that idea to get a, no one's like saying, you should go start a lemonade stand, you should do this. Like you kind of, how you are as a learner, I'm a visual learner. So when you see other kids doing that, if you're an entrepreneur at heart, you're going to get triggered to go do that, you know? Like anyone could do what I'm doing right now. Not everyone chooses to do that.
Do you believe that truly that anyone could do what you do?
Anyone can.
Who didn't go through the experiences you went through.
We're not even saying my genre. My experiences led to the genre I created. We're talking about this physical concept of what I've done.
Anyone could be a podcaster.
In this setting, because this is the formula for success, to stand out. If you followed my steps to a T with whatever genre you're doing, you will be successful. But not everyone has the willpower to do it. But they can do it. It's very easy to do.
But that's like saying anyone could be fucking Adele.
No, that's different.
How is that different?
Because I'm not on the level of Adele. You're comparing apples
Adele
to oranges.
At one point was at your level before she became Adele, but she was way more successful than anyone else that wanted to sing.
Okay, but...
You are an artist. At the end of the day, podcasting is an art. And yes. You are an artist.
But I'm not at that level. We could have this conversation in a year if I'm bigger, but I'm saying at a baseline level... You could have, say, 100,000, maybe not even as big as what it's at now. 100,000 followers on each platform. You don't even need 100,000, 5,000, you know? You can make money off of 5,000 or 10,000 followers. We're not saying millions
That's
of people.
Up right there, baby.
You know, you don't need millions to make money, you know? You could be a micro-influencer. It just needs to look good. A lot of it is just making it look good, you know?
But it's not you. Like, I hear you, but I don't because... Not everyone could do what you do, because at the end of the day, you're doing what
I'm not
you
saying
do.
Not everyone can do it, but I'm saying they could physically, you could buy a camera, anyone could go out and buy a camera. I'm saying physically, they're able to do it. Maybe not mentally, but they could go buy a camera, they could get a studio lease, they can get this information is all available online.
You could say that about Kevin Hart, you could say that about the greats of anything. You could really say that.
I mean, I think that's where the talent aspect comes into it, though. You got the mental and then you got the physical part. You know, anyone could do the physical part. Anyone could go on stage in front of a crowd, like physically speaking.
Yeah.
They just don't have the mental part to do that. That's what makes those greats different. That's what I'm saying. The physical part, they could physically go and get their own studio. They could physically get the cameras, physically get all the equipment. But do they have the mental capacity to piece that all together and excel in their career? That's what makes the grades different.
So some people are just fucked.
I don't know about fucked, or maybe that's not what their path is. Maybe they're great in another area, you know? Maybe they're the Adele of their own path, you know? You could be a standout. Look at all the people that are huge in their companies that are, they're not famous for that, you know? Mm-hmm. That they could be the Adele of their local bake shop. You don't know, you know?
It is funny, like, you probably, every number you hit that probably makes you really happy for numbers, subscribers, followers, you probably hit it and you start seeing more people with that same amount.
This is the way I look at it, right? I look at it as, in January, when we dropped episodes on YouTube, one of the hardest platforms to grow on, I was excited to get 1,000 views within 24 to 48 hours. I thought that was awesome. That's what I was striving for. Now my episodes within 48 hours hit 10,000 views. So like I had old production partners or whatever that, you know, that's a lighter episode if it doesn't hit 10,000 within the first 24 hours. But it, to me, if it hits 10,000 the first week, I'm happy, which all of our episodes do. Like that's to see the growth from that, like that's awesome. I'm happy with that. It's consistent, it looks good. It's not staggered. It's not like one episode does 20 and the next episode does 500 views, you know? So.
But couldn't that episode with 500 views help someone?
It could, but I mean, I'm saying now at my point in the career, like it's doing consistent, it's mm-hmm. consistent, you know?
Yeah. When was the, I'm going to go back to the question, then I'll go back to that. When was the moment? Like, all right, so you're saying this podcast is the thing that made you take yourself seriously. When was the exact moment the idea came to you?
I mean, I had the moment in last December when I was on TikTok and I was like, I'm getting burnt out from telling stories about my prison experience. So I was like, well, maybe I'll just start interviewing people. And so I started a podcast and it was okay, you know, didn't make any money, but it was whatever. And then I realized when I went to 2 episodes a week, okay, this thing has some legs to it. And then what I really realized was in April, you know, when I went viral on No Jumper talking about paying for protection in prison. And I realized simultaneously that individuals that weren't famous were coming on my platform and their episodes were doing really well. And that's when I realized I had something. Because my whole business model in the beginning was flying the big TikTokers, the people with the big brands, and get them to share their story. And that got views, which was great. But what really does the numbers is the people who have never shared their story before.
That's so funny. But you were mad. You were mad that you weren't getting the shit that you wanted to see.
I wasn't mad. I was just like, it was taking a while, you know? But it was brand new, you know? Like, I didn't know. I knew nothing about the podcast world. I didn't know what we need to be at. I didn't know if you need 10,000 downloads per episode or what you need. I didn't know. I'd never done it before, you know?
You weren't listening to interviews.
I was listening to interviews, but they don't say like exactly what it, no one talks about their numbers openly. You know, no one's really out there talking, you get information online, you know, but it's vague. Like online says you're in the top 1% of podcasts if you get, you know, 2,500 downloads or whatever per episode. But that just goes to show how hard it is in the industry, you know?
But who cares about that?
I mean, you got to look at it from a business standpoint. That's why it's important. You know, you need a certain amount of downloads to get the advertisers to fund your operation, you know?
I agree, or you can be niche.
Yeah, but if you're doing it full time, we're talking about two different things. It's either a hobby or it's a business, you know? So you have to, when it becomes a business, you have to stay on top of those numbers. You gotta look at the downloads, you gotta see what your audience likes and stuff, you know? Now that I've met those numbers, I don't even care. Like I look at them just to make sure there's no like, okay, why did we dip off 50%, you know? You look at that out of curiosity, but now we're at a level and it'll grow over time, not in a rush. We're at a good baseline level. Here's our base now, you know? We're doing this many episodes per download, this many downloads per episode. We got our YouTube, we got our clips on, you know? I built everything simultaneously. I built it on TikTok, I built it on Instagram, I built it on Facebook, you know, on YouTube. So I'm very spread out on everything.
You can pass this question. How much money in debt are you, or are like fully?
I mean, if you add everything up, you know, with some favors owed and stuff, probably like 700,000. 700,000 would put me to zero. You can always negotiate shit down too, you know?
But you need the podcast to be as successful as quickly as possible.
That and building clients and building revenue, yeah. I mean, that's why like a movie deal, if a movie deal came into play or something, that it's quicker, you know? But podcasts, there's certain podcasts that make 500, 600, 700, 800, $1 million+ a year, you know? In the first year of this podcast, it's grossing $250,000 in the first year.
Congratulations.
A ton of expenses though. You gotta learn as you grow,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like I did a deal where I gave up 50% of my revenue because I had no money for production in the beginning, you know? So I partnered with a production company. It's different things, you know? So you kind of learn as you go, but I really think next year there's gonna be some major results, you know? But that's a part of business. It didn't lose money, you know? It's a success in itself in that way.
But I see that as, I'm saying this for people listening because I think there are two types of people listening. People who want to start podcasts and do it like you, and people want to start podcasts and do it like me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming at it from different angles, and I actually am really enjoying this. I thank you for your time.
You're welcome, like, man.
My overhead is really low.
That's great. I wish I had that.
My overhead is so low. And I have clips that do crazy numbers, maybe not as consistently, mm-hmm. but it has become a job. And maybe I don't have the studio and everything, but I am able to live the life I want and consistently grow. My first year, so I've done it 3 years. First year, no listens. Second year, I grew 93%. This past year, I grew 297%, I think. And that consistent growth and the big growth in the numbers to me and being able to live the life I want, maybe the money's a little lower, but I think you can have a podcast in that way. In the same way that, bro, think about how many musicians, we're like, this sounds so dumb if you're not a podcaster, but we're artists.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Not everyone has to be Kevin Hart. There's a lot of comedians that people love.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know who the fuck Tom Segura is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. They know Matt Rife. They know fucking Jerry Seinfeld. But that doesn't mean there's not people making hella money after grinding a long time in art. But I do get where you're coming from, that you do have to win quicker. But I hope people listening who feel you, but I also do think that there's another formula to podcasting.
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone finds their own way, man, you know? I'm not saying my way is the only way, I'm just saying what's worked for me.
But I think people need to hear that, because you're right, people don't talk about numbers. That's mm-hmm. why I like to have this type of conversation of like, push you so far, because I don't think people know what'll push someone to really start.
Absolutely.
They might hear the clickbaity story to it, but they don't know what really like,
mm-hmm.
You didn't have time to fuck around.
No. Straight to the grind, my friend.
And Whole Foods wasn't working for you.
It worked. I was going to make $100,000 last year with overtime. I just wasn't passionate about it anymore.
All right. But you would probably not get to that number quick enough.
It would be harder to pay back. This is my best chance to make things right.
But that's because you believe in yourself. Most people who are in your position, they're like, all right, I'm $700,000 in debt. Aren't like, what's the best way to make that money back?
This is the best way
for me. Let's start a podcast.
I believe in my story. I believe in what I've been through, and I believe in the past, you know? So you use that, and we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I just know what I'm doing right then and now, you know?
And it's working for you.
We're trying.
Thank you for doing this, man. I really do appreciate
it. Thanks for driving 4 hours, Mr. Sam.
Of course, man. I appreciate this. This was dope as hell. I don't really give a fuck. It was dope that you were with Sylvester Stallone, but I don't really give a fuck about that story.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later. Peace out, everyone. Like and subscribe.
Yeah.